Okay, we're getting on the Mishnah top of Chof Ted Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Kol Mitzvot HaBen Al Ha'av. The Gemara is going to question what this exactly means, but based on the conclusion of the Gemara, the Mitzvot that the Ben is obligated in, but the father discharges. Anashim Chayavim, men are Chayav to this, and Anashim Pturot, whereas women are Pturot. B'chol mitzvat ha'av ala ben, any obligation that a child has toward a parent, echad anashim, echad nashim, chayavim. Doesn't matter men or women, right? Gender is irrelevant when it comes to mitzvot or obligations toward the parents. B'chol mitzvot asay, shazman grama, anashim chayavim, v'nashim pitrot. Any mitzvah to say, which is a positive, time-bound mitzvah, then men are chayav, but whereas women are pirturot. The whole mitzvah to say shelo azman grama, if it's a positive command, but that's not time-bound, echad anashim chayavim. Men and women are equally chayav. Chol mitzvot lo tase, if it's a negative commandment, lo tase, ben shezman grama, whether it's time-bound, ben shezman, whether it's not time-bound, echad hanashim chayavim. Again, irrespective of gender, one is chayav in the negative commandments. Chutz, exceptions to those rules are bal takif u bal tashchit, right, which are irrelevant in a sense for women, right, they're not shayach by women. And then when it comes to a Kohen, only Kohanim are restricted from becoming Tamei L'Tamemet, but not, right, Kohanot, because it says, Daber al Bnei Aron, below Benot Aharon. So Bal Takif and Bal Tashchit, whether it comes to cutting off one's sideburns or cutting the beard, that applies to men, not to women, because it's irrelevant for women. But in the main team, we have a limo that excludes them from that restriction. So the Mishnah, one of the interesting things in the Mishnah is that women are pturim, or pturot, from mitzvot aseish as man grama. What exactly is a mitzvot aseish as man grama? So Rashi over here says, so the definition is, shazman grama, shahazman gorim la shitavo, that is caused, time causes the mitzvah to come. On the other hand, the Rambam, in describing a mitzvah to say, shazman grama, the Rambam says, or describes it as a mitzvah, haba mizman uzman. Right? That's a mitzvah that comes on a recurring basis, or on a regular basis. That's a difference. So what's the nafkamina between these two explanations? It goes to see Rambam also in the first Mishnah, it says, Mitzvah Aseishas Fangarahi Mitzvot Shatem Chayav Asotam Bizman Mugbal. Right, they have to be done in a certain time frame or framework. So the difference would be, for instance, and we're going to see in a minute, there's going to be in other Machlokes we've shown him, say, for instance, the Mitzvah Milah. The Mitzvah Milah starts on the eighth day, and then from the eighth day forward, one is Chayav and Milah. So according to Rashi, that should be a mitzvah aseish hazman grama because it's caused, time causes it to come. The eighth day is what generates the chiyuv. Whereas according to the Rambam, right, so that is, according to Rashi, that would be a mitzvah aseish hazman grama because it's zman gorim it to come. And then kind of according to the Rambam's explanation, it's either zman mugbal or about zman lezman, mila is not like that. Once you're chayav in mila, right, the mitzvah persists. Right, it does not recur. Right, you're going to excellent. So Tosos asked you a question. We're going to see that in the Gemara. I think you and Shaul are raising the same issue with regards to Mila, which we're going to see in the Gemara. And then we'll see all the Rishonim, how they deal with this issue, that the Gemara does not call Mila Mitzvah Cessation as Man Grama. And the question is, why? Right, so the Gemara says, Mai Kol Mitzvot Abein Al Ha'af. What does that mean, that Mitzvot Abein Al Ha'af? All mitzvot that a son is obligated to do for his parents, that she pturot, women be pturot from that. Matanya, don't we have a baraisa, ish, hang the other ish, right? Isha minayin, I only have a man. How do I know a woman is? Shomer ish imo baviv tira'u, right? So tira'u in the plural, which is modifying ish, Right? So if it was modifying ish, it should not be in the plural. It should have been in the singular. So why is it ishimo baviv tiro? Harei kan shnayim. This indicates to you that there are actually two people obligated to fear their parents. And who are those two obligated? The parent, that's an ish, and isha. So the ish and isha means that men and women are both equally obligated in yirat av ve'im and kibud av ve'im. So you can't suggest that the first section of our Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, which is kol mitzvot ben alav, so we're doing referring to children's obligations towards their parents. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, what's the real explanation? Achri Amar, kol mitzvot habein hamutolot ala av lasuk livno. These are mitzvot on the child, hamutolot ala av, that are devolve upon the father to do for his son. Right, so you could have read, I think the language of Yehuda is interesting. He could have read, or he could have said, kol mitzvot hamutolot ala av lasuk livno. All mitzvot that the father is obligated to do for his son. But rather it says, kol mitzvot haben. Sounds like it's a mitzvah of the child, but the obligation to discharge it, right, is on the father. So then those instances, anashim chayavim and anashim pturot. Men are chayav, the father is chayav, but the woman or the mother is not necessarily chayav in these instances. Tani laha, the Tan Rabban. We have a braisa that supports this. Ha'av chayav. Divno. So what are the obligations of a father towards his child? Limolo, right, to give him a brismila, liftoto, pijona ben, lamdo Torah, ulhasio, isha, teach him Torah, help him get married, ulamdo umanut, right, to help him, gain a profession, craft, yoshamim, akla shito bamayim, to teach him how to swim. Yudomer, kosh menu malamidat no umanut, lamdo listut. Anybody who does not teach his child a trade or profession, he's teaching him banditry. So I says, listot sakadat, what do you mean? He didn't teach him anything. All he was is sheva atase. What do you mean? Listot. Right? It's as if, by withholding or being passive in teaching the child a profession or a craft, it's as if you've taught him listut. And as Rashi says, because he has no profession. And he won't have any way to gain parnosa or get food. He'll go on the Parshat Drachim, let's spin it every oath. What is he left with? What are his options? He has no options left. He'll go and rob people in order to, right, gain his parnosa. So now, the Gemara, the reason I pointed out before, mitzvot ha-ben, which is that some of these, like lemolo, lishtoto, lamdol Torah, tibu vasil isha, are all mitzvot that are on the ben, that the av, or the father, has to discharge. When it comes to, which is interesting, that the Gemara also, when it comes to lamdo umnut, lashito b'mayim, right, both of which are not inherently mitzvot, right, necessarily, but the Braisa here still defines them based on Rabbi Yehuda says, kol mitzvot ha-ben. Which is, that was interesting to note. Right now, the Gemara wants to know, and this is what David and Shaul were asking, the Malo,
because you can stretch a point and say, you know, like, could you display the Shmarta Vodas, it's not Shosechen, so.
Right, but that's not a mitzvah ben. I think it's a preventative measure, not a mitzvah la ben. But I agree with you, that's what you have to do. You have to stretch both by Umanut and Hadashit Almayim to explain it that way. So this is, how do we know by Mila that this is the case that the father is obligated, not the mother, and all that's surrounding it, Yichtiv. Yamal Abraham et Yitzchak bino. And Abraham gives a Bismila to Yitzchak, his son. If his father does not give him Bismila, Mechayvi Beidin al Mimhalen, then Beidin is obligated to step in and have give him a Mila. Tichtov Himolachem Kozachar. Right, which is that you must ensure that all males have a mila. And that's a general obligation on the tzibur that ensures that all Jewish males have a bris mila. If Beis Din does not provide the mila for him, then the obligation falls upon him to ensure that he has a mila. That there's a chiyuv karet for someone who does not have a bris mila. That is machlokes rishonim, exactly when the karet comes in, or how this karet works, or who the karet is on. But nevertheless, the fact that there is a karet associated with the mila, then at some point the child himself becomes obligated to ensure that he does have a bris mila if his father or Beis Din haven't done that. So now Gemara says, "Ihi minolan zelo mechayva." How do we know that the woman or the mother is not obligated to ensure that this child has a bris mila? Kasher tiva oto elukim. The way that Hashem, Abraham, does the mila for Yitzchak, like Hashem commanded him. Oto veloata. So that's him and not her. Ashkech aniyat. So that's true for Abraham. The dorot minala. How do we know that that's true, right, for afterwards? I mean, the olam, how's that true? So when it says, Tanit be Rabbi Shmuel, koma kom shenemer tzav, inu ala zirus, miyad hu dorot. Anytime the word tzav or the poal, tzav or tziva is used, right, in that instance, it means zirus, you know, to be, right, as a reason to do the mitzvah now, or the dorot, meaning that it has implications that are beyond just the statement, the immediate statement. So here, zirus dechtiv, how do I know that it means there's a race? Because it says the tzavet Yoshua b'chazkiyah b'amtzeyu, when they're transitioning the leadership from Moshe to Yoshua, right, Hashem tells Moshe, tzavet Yoshua b'chazkiyah b'amtzeyu, right, give, command Yoshua, give him strength, tell him to be strong, you know, push him to take on the mantle of leadership. Because from today, that Hashem commands from today and onward. So you see that the word tzav has, or tziva, that verb has implications not only the miyad or the dorot, also the dorot. So therefore when it says, kashir tziva uto elukim, by that tziva uto will have implications not only for Abraham himself, but also the dorot. So now the question, the main question, and this is based on what I told you before, that why is it that the Gemara over here comes to kind of limud, right, by Mila? Right, why is the Gemara looking for a limud by Mila? So that the Gemara Tosfos asks this question. Oto v'lo ota. V'itomar. Lama likra. What do I need a pasuk for? Typically, the mitzvah tasei shazman gramaho. Mila, the mitzvah tasei shazman grama. So why not, right? Why is Gemara looking all over for a pasuk? Just say it's a mitzvah tasei shazman grama. The woman is not obligated, right, to perform a mitzvah tasei shazman grama. So this sounds like what the Habamina Tosfos, at least here at this point, is. It sounds like whose opinion? We said the opinion of Rashi, right, that his mind will trigger it. Sishinimo b'shvinila yitov v'nashim p'turot. The Ishlomar, it says, Kevan, David is what you suggested, Miyom Ashmin Ra'ala, in Lahefseik, Lavzman Gramahu. So this is, according to the, that sounds like the Rambam now, right? This answer of Tosfos sounds like, once Mila is engaged, once the mitzvah starts, right? And it goes, forever, then it's not called the mitzvah to say Shiman Zman Grama. So that's okay, like what they said, the Rambam. The Rambam says mitzvah to say Shiman Grama is either Zman Mubal, has a fixed time, or Bami Zman Zman comes on a recurring basis. So Mila, since it's, once it's triggered, it doesn't go away, therefore it's not a mitzvah to say Shiman Grama. So that's like the Habamina of Tosfos like Rashi. And the answer of Tosfos is similar to the Rambam's pshat. Vim Tomer, Akati, mitzvah to say Shiman Grama, Udein Malin Mel Beyom. Right, David, you mentioned this. It's only Mila during the day. Mila Shalob is Mana, we only do during the day and not at night. So it is a mitzvah to say Shiman Grama, because you're only Chayab during the day and not at night. So Tosfos' conclusion over here is the Atzia Kamanto Amar goes according to the one here that Mila Shlobis Manano Hege Bain Bayom Ubain Balaila. That our Gemara, the whole Sugya here, goes according to the opinion that says that a Mila is Chayiv. Once you have Mila, become Chayiv in Mila, you're Chayiv day and night. There is no break, there is no stopping the Mila, and therefore it's okay. But according to Tosfos, had you been putzer right night, that would be a mitzvah asay shazman grama. Right? This is not dealing with, that's a separate question. This is a good question. That happens in the Chokos Rishonim, and then the Machaber Paskins that a woman can give a bris mila. The Ramos says we can, but we're knowing not to. But the question here is not whether a woman can give an give the mila or perform a mila. Right. The question is, she obligated to perform the mila on her son? So there's two separate questions. One question is she obligated? Second question is, even if she's not obligated, is she able to perform mila on her son? Think about that. All right. So now, other Rishonim deal with the issue in a different way. Right. So the Ran over here says, what about mila? He says, v'hapul gav, the mitzvah seisha zman gramahi. He says it is a mitzvah seisha, v'nashim p'turot. Itzrich miuta, still need an extra mute. Sakadat chamino hani mila b'mitzvot digufayu. Right? And he says it's only mitzvot digufayu. The ritva says a similar thing. That when it comes to, when do we say there's a tour of mitzvot seisha zman grama? That is when the obligation is on you. When it's your obligation, your mitzvah, then we say mitzvot seisha zman grama p'tura. But over here, who's the obligation? We said before, the mitzvah is on the ben. It's the milat haben. So even though it's a mitzvah to say shas man grama, it's a possibility that the woman would be chayav, or chayavet, not turah, because the mitzvah says man grama, because the man grama and the milah have all to do with the son and nothing to do with her. So since the obligation, or the real milah, is on the son, the mitzvah is on the son, maybe she is chayevet, even though it's a mitzvah seseisha as man grama. So that's how the Ran and the Ritva deal with this, and that's why they say the Gemara needed a pasuk. The truth is, it is a mitzvah seseisha as man grama, but it may not be relevant because, right, there is two parties here. It's not a mitzvah, the Ran calls it a bigufayu, it's not a mitzvah of bigufa, it's not an obligation that devolves directly upon her, but as the object of the mitzvah, and the mitzvah itself is the milah of her son, and that would be the reason we need a separate limud to exclude her. The Tosfos read, as an interesting idea, the Tosfos read says that the chiyuv b'milah is not lamol et bino. It's not to give the milah to his son, but it's to ensure that nimol bino, that his son is circumcised. So based on that, the Tosfos read says that the chiyuv, even though you cannot give a milah at night, nevertheless, the obligation to prepare for milah and to ensure that everything's in place for the milah during the day still is there, because the mitzvah is not to limol it, but rather to ensure that the no limol. And therefore that mitzvah is continuous, meaning that even if you can't perform it, the preparations will be included in that, and therefore it's not a mitzvah sasej as man gamakwa and social street. The Turi Evan has an interesting idea that a mitzvah tasesha is man grama. He says it's a chagiga, is only what? When it's, is only application, or it does not have application to mitzvah chad hamit. So a mitzvah that happens only once. Right? That a mitzvah that is just the three other. Right? That it's not, mitzvah tasesha is man grama implies that the zman is goreim, and not that it's a singular mitzvah that only happens once. So here, mila. Right, it's not a mitzvah that's chadish. It happens once and it's done. So then we don't call a mitzvah to say she'ha zman grama. So it's just some selection of the opinions of different rishonim, how they view mitzvah to say she'ha zman grama, how we define zman grama. But again, Rashi. Yes, it's similar, very similar to the Rambam. The Torah Evan's very similar to the Rambam, right? So the different selection, we said Rashi says Shazram Goreim Lachavo. That's Rashi says time causes it to come. So the Rambam says that it's Man Mubal or Bam Zman Zman. Right, we saw the Ritva and the Ritva and the Ran, who both agree and think that Mila is Zman Grama. But Mitzvah says Zman Grama will be defined by who the obligation is on. That it's only when it's on me, the obligation is my mitzvah, then we say that we apply it to say that's my grandma. It's on someone else or about someone else. We won't apply it. And we have the Tosfos Reed who says you have to look at the nature of the mitzvah. Right? That it's, the question is, it's a active mitzvah or it's a mitzvah to ensure that something has transpired, and that'll make a difference to this man grandma. The last thing I'll say about this is that there's also a problem on Shabbos. Can't, Mila Shlobis Manu is not Dolche Shabbos. So you can't give a Mila on Shabbos. So why don't we say that it's not a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to say she's my grandma because of Shabbos? Forget about Yom Belayla. What about Shabbos? So you do have an opinion.
That's a separate mitzvah. They observe the Ketubos.
Okay, excellent. So that's what I think. I think that's right. I think that's the correct answer. But you said it's different. By Laila, it's Lav Zman Milahu. That you can't do a Milah because it's not the Zman Milah. On Shabbos, it is Zman Milah, but Shabbos prevents you from performing the mitzvah. It's not that you're not obligated or there's no mitzvah Milah on Shabbos, but there is a mitzvah Milah just, right, that you can't discharge or you can't do it because Shabbos says don't do this on Shabbos. So I think that's how you can differentiate between Shabbos and Laila. Alright, so Domi Nalan. How we know that Pidyon HaBen only applies to the father and not to the mother? Right, it says that you should redeem all your children. If his father doesn't take care of the job, then he has to do it. He has to do Pidyon HaBen on himself. Right, which I've attended, it's interesting to, you know, I've attended Pidyon HaBen for someone who was like, you know, 20 years old and did a Pidyon HaBen himself because he found out his parents hadn't done a Pidyon HaBen. Because it says that you have to redeem him no matter what, meaning that there's an obligation, meant to be sure that he's redeemed. How do we know that the mother, right, is not commanded to do this? So it says, the way the pasuk reaches right, so that's the reading, which is tivdeh, but it's written without a yod, which is tipa de. Alright, so therefore, kol mitzvah, shemitzvah, b'fetot et atzmo. Whoever is obligated to redeem himself, right, is what? That right, is a mitzvah. Sorry, right, thank you. Mitzvah that's supposed to be the tzmaot, mitzvah that's supposed to be the chayrim, is obligated to redeem others. Choshenu mitzvah liftot et atzmo, whoever's not commanded to take care of himself, enu mitzvah liftot acherim. So he's not obligated to take care of others, because that's the play on tifteh and tifadeh. Right? One is tifteh, you will redeem others, and tifadeh is that you will be redeemed. Right? So the one who will be redeemed, meaning one who should redeem himself, right, or has to be redeemed, tifteh, he can go ahead and redeem others. So now you have to ask, okay, how do you know that how do you know she's not obligated in Pidgin Aben? The underlying assumption here is that the woman is not obligated in Pidgin Aben, and therefore she can't be pulled out of it. Right. Right. Tiftev, tipadeh, tiftev. That should read it the other way around. What? Tipadeh, tiftev. One is kosher, chayim, tzuvim, liftoto. Anyone who's obligated to, right, redeem him, that's most commanded to redeem himself. Whoever's not obligated to redeem himself, others aren't obligated to redeem him. Is not obligated to redeem himself. Now we have a big circle, all circular logic, which is basically there's tifdeh and tifadeh, right? Which says that there's some sort of hekesh between the one who redeems and the one who is redeemed. But so far we don't know. We've never shown in that circle that women are not included. So that's the next line of the Gemara. I mean, I ain't enough in mitzvah mitzvah. That we know that others aren't obligated to redeem a girl. The Amar Kra kol b'chor banecha tifdeh. Banecha velo binotecha. So once we know that your children, banecha velo binotecha, right, once we know that your children, only your sons, have to be redeemed, then we can go back to the tifteh tifadeh, which teaches us, one, if your son, one who is obligated, only one who's obligated by others to be redeemed, then will be obligated to redeem others, and therefore only males are included in Pidgin Aben, both the father obligated to redeem the son, or that the son is needs to be redeemed by the father. So interesting over here, Rashi says with regards to Pidgin Aben, right, so he says, how do we know that a woman is not mifkido? She says, the cave on the mitzvah sase, shlo asman gramahu. Pidgin Aben is not a mitzvah sase, she has man grama. So we want to know why a woman is tura. Right, according to Rashi's definition of Pidgin Aben, of zman grama, right, if Mila would be quote unquote zman grama, because he says, kolsu asman gorim lashit tavo. Why is it that Pidgin Aben, according to Rashi, is not a mitzvah sase, she has man grama? Explicitly says here, it's not. So I think you have to say, you have to differentiate between Pidgin Aben and Mila, which is that, truthfully, by Mila the 4 8 days is nothing, right? Gornish. The 4 8 days you can't give a Mila because it's Lo Zmano. Only from the 8th day of Havo is a Mila Shaykh, and that's when this Mila kicks in. Pidgin Aben is actually different. When does the obligation of Pidgin Aben really devolve? From the moment the child is born, there's an obligation of Pidgin Aben. Why do we wait until the 30th day? Why do we redeem him here? To make sure that he's a ben kayama, to make bar kayama, to make sure that he's not a nathel. So the waiting of 30 days is not, that's not that the obligation is generated on the 30th day. The 30th day is, tells us that miyakara, from day one, that he really was chayav in Pidgin Aben. So that's like to say that why it's not a mitzvah as mangaran, because there is, it's not the 30 day triggers it, the 30th day is just a marker to tell us that he was obligated from day one in Pidgin Aben.
If you would do it, and if you would do Pidgin Aben, that's exactly before the 30 days, so it would be okay, you wouldn't have to do it again.
Possibly, yeah, if he lives past the 30th day, I don't know.
Sorry, was he only male?
So that's a good question. There's a, it's a Taz who says that the women were also included, that it was Bechorot and Bechorah based on, he brings a medrash down, and because of that he speaks about whether the women have to fast on Erev Pesach, because they were included in the saving of the Bechorot in Mitzrayim. So that's, there is, I forgot who, in Shulchan Aruch brings down that that the women were also saved in Mitzrayim. No. So I think Rav Shlomo Zalman says the reason that we fast, very good, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says the reason that the Bechorim fast on Erev Pesach is because on Pesach, on that time, on Pesach night, the Bechorim were chosen by the fact that Hashem saved them negative Mitzrayim. So they were chosen to be the Kohanim at that point in time.
Yeah, that's what we were doing in Moshe.
Right, so later on, by Shevet Levi takes over. The reason they fast on Erev Pesach is not because they were saved in Mitzrayim, because they lost that mantle of Kibunah. So that would only have application by the Korim, by
that would be reason why, like, why would you allow me to that they would have to do a Pinyon for a Bat?
Okay, so you're right. So that is interesting. The Gemara, whether you have to do a Pinyon for a Bat, right, or not, is a question. But even so, Tosfos asks even here, why did the Gemara ask this? Why does the Gemara says, that your child you should take care of, which then is an obligation on the father to redeem the son. Why did the Gemara just say that? Why did they bring banecha, that you're obligated to do it? So Tosfos says that maybe there's a habimina, that kol banecha tima, that banecha v'lo menotecha, that you would think that you would not have an obligation to redeem the son, but not the daughter, but a nekeba will redeem herself. Okay, so that's an interesting, that she would be obligated to redeem herself. So not that, before banecha tibdeh would be that someone else has the obligation to redeem you, but there would be a separate obligation on women to redeem themselves that would not be included in these mitzvot that devolve upon the father. This would be an argument you're saying in favor of those that say that the women were also saved in Mitzrayim. Right, who lives those? Who's no lives those? You have a choice here, right? There's he to redeem him and his child. Who goes them live? He goes before you. He has the opinion of himself and his child. He goes before his child. You don't have no close mo. That his son goes first. Why? That his opinion of should have been done by his father. His child's opinion of is his problem. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu, where yours says, Akol Modim, everybody agrees over here with regards to Olcheicha Deleka Elechamesh Sla'im. We're talking about only five cells over here. He only has five cells, enough to do one of the two. Who called him the B'no? Everybody agrees that he goes first. Why? My time, Mr. Degufe Adikta. That is a mitzvah, when it comes to a mitzvah gufo, when you deal with yourself, then you always go first. You give priority to yourself. Keep we gay. He has five selah to his name, plus he has an additional five selah that already were sold. He sold them away land worth five selah to a lekuchot, right? So now the question is what? Rabbi Yehuda sabar milva dechtib Torah, chtuva b'shtar damya. A milva that's written in the Torah is equivalent to being written in the shtar. The five the cell that he's holding in his pocket, he'll use that to redeem his son. And then for his redemption, they can go back to the lekuchot and take the karka away. Because what the obligation to redeem him preceded the father, the redeeming self, preceded the sale. Because he was already obligated in Pidyon HaBen from the time he was born, right? Now here he sold property, that was after the Torah already has a lien on that property. Because that's a milva ktuba v'shtar. And he's obligated in the Torah, as if it's written in a shtar in the Torah, and therefore the Kohen can go and grab it from the Mishubadim, from the Lekuchot. Right? Rabbanan Sabre, don't believe Milva Dechtiba, right? The love to Bishtar Daniel, a loan or an obligation in the Torah, monetary obligation is an oral obligation, so therefore you can't go and take it away from Mishubadim. No kach, mitzvah dugufe adif. So you have a choice now, him or his son, he only have five sela, he'll go first, right, over his son. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The only issue that you have here, the question is, well, how can the Kohen go with Tarif? And in general, we say that a obligation where you have, like, for instance, Pidyon HaBen, Trumos, Maestros, where you have the ability to give it to a Kohen or a Levi, it's Mamon Shein L'Tovim, because there is no specific person who's entitled to that money. It's the Mamon HaShevet. Right, it belongs to the whole Shevet. Right. That doesn't have a person. It doesn't have a claimant or a directed claimant because the boss goes shaded. So over here, when the Gemara says, "Also claim v'tarfli the chamesh mishubadim," right? It's interesting that the Gemara entertains the possibility here that he could go and take the money, even though it belongs to Mamona Shevet. So that's Rashi, and Rashi says that's the explanation of this Gemara is talking about him, that he can go back from Mishubadim. Tosfos, I won't go through this. Tosfos has an issue with the fact that how could he, like, sell stuff to the Kuchot, and then he's, right, then he's trying to take it back from them afterwards. So Tosfos sets up the case to be, Chaim Perish Reed, the Mari could go to Ika Kamesh Mishubadim Yitzchak. And you have Yitzchak, she'asana putki l'kohen b'avur Yaakov. He made them an obligation to his son Yaakov, you know, v'akakak makra, and then he sold them. Shuv gadol Yaakov, Yaakov gets old, v'ayelo ben, and he has a child named Reuven. V'amad huv no lishtot. So now Reuven and Yaakov need to redeem themselves. ואין להם אלא היסלעים בני חביל, אלא פי פריק. ויהיו לסבא, מיל ועקו בטרק ובשטר דן, ואלו פוטקות בשטר לכהן, קודם לכן, there's already, the Yitzchak had obligated the money for his son Yitzchak, that came to govern him. Abbi sheish bnei chori liyakov. So even though Yaakov has bnei chorim, the feast mitzvato hanakseh adif. So that even though in general, we say mitzvah begufo adif, and that's the problem that we have with Rashi's Peshat, is truthfully, why do we let him redeem his son according to Yehuda, and then take away from the kuchol for himself? Why don't the kuchol come back and say, mitzvah begufo adif, your mitzvah is adif, do yourself, and then your son will have to deal with later, but why are you cheating us out of our property by paying for your son when you should do yourself first? That's what the Tosfos says. No, because here it's not Yitzchak the Gufo. First, why? Because his father already, Yitzchak, the grandfather, already assigned his property to pay for his son Yaakov's pidyon. And therefore, the obligation when Yitzchak Gufo Adif is not the case here. Why? Because his father already assigned property for this. And the obligation was on his father. Since that's the case, right, then he redeems his son, Reuven, right, with the name Chori, and Yitzchak will be, Yaakov will be redeemed with Yitzchak's property that had been given to the Goyim as a Pusukim and then sold later on. Alright. Let's go to Benova, look the regal. Alright, they have a choice between being Podet's son and going up to the regal. Podet, Benova, Harkach, below the regal. You take priority in redeeming your son and not going up to the regal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, below the regal, Harkach, Podet, Benova. It says that he goes to the regal and then redeems his son. Shazu mitzvah overt, Shazu mitzvah shein overt. The regal is going to pass. If he doesn't just go up to the regal, he misses it, he can't do it. Pidyon HaBen, even if he doesn't do it now, he can do it later. I mean, that doesn't go away. That mitzvah doesn't go away. Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, Kedamar Taima. Okay, we understand the decision of Rabbi Yehuda. He gave a reasoning for his time. Rabbanon, my Tamayu. What's the reasoning of Rabbanon that say what? That he should pull his son and not go up to the regal. Gamar Krak, Chober Venecha Tifteh, Behadar Lo Yira'u Ifanai Rekam. The Pasuk brings the two, Pidyon HaBen and Aliyah the regal, in a single Pasuk. So since they're brought together in a single Pasuk, right, we see the order. It tells you the order. Chober Venecha Tifteh first, and then Lo Yira'u Ifanai Rekam. Even though Lo Yira'u Ifanai Rekam technically is not about Aliyah the regal, it's about bringing Olot Riyah. It's about bringing Karbanot in the Midrash when you do go up Aliyah the regal. Now this would support the position of the of Rambam, which is that Olot Riyah and Aliyah the Regal are connected, meaning that there is no, right? There is no Aliyah the Regal without Olot Riyah, and therefore the two are integrally or inherently connected. And therefore when the Gemara brings a proof of Olot Riyah and Aliyah come, it's also a proof about Aliyah the Regal. He has five children from five wives, but he's obligated to redeem all of them. To redeem all your children. Why says Peshitta? That's a reckon, Talar Rachmana. The obligation of Pidyon HaBen has to do with the firstborn from the womb. So that means if he had five wives, each one of them is the firstborn from Tetzarechim, the first one to be born, such a woman. So what's the question here that he has to redeem all of them? So Maud, Bechor Min Akhla, that I'll learn a Zer Shav from Bechor Min Akhla. Bechor Min Akhla is determined by the firstborn of the father. Maud, Halan Reshit Ono, the first of the offspring of the father. Afkan Reshit Ono, Kamash Kulan, that it's not. It's amazing how you know the Gemara. The Gemara is suggesting that even though the Pasuk explicitly says Tetzarechim, that you would have a Zer Shav of Bechor from Nakla to tell you that it only applies to Reshit Ono and not Petarechim. So I don't know if the Gemara's happening is that it has to be Reshit Ono in Petarechim in order to be a Bechor versus just Petarechim. And maybe that's the happening of the one. The last one is that Reshit Ono is not applicable here at all. How do we know the obligation to teach Torah to the child? The Chtiv, it says, right, that you teach your children. The Hefet Lo Agmei Abuah, his father didn't teach him Torah, Machai Yud, the Migra Nafshe, he is Hayek to teach himself, the Chtiv, Ulumanatem. So as Rashi points out, this is a different Pasuk, right? It's crap, you know, it's another Pasuk, Ulumanatem Otam, Ushmartem Nasutam. And that you have an obligation to learn. Not only to be taught, but you have an obligation to learn. How do we know that she's not obligated to learn Torah, woman? Or, I'm sorry, that she's not obligated to teach her son Torah? Dichtiv, vilimadatem, ulimadatem. Right, so one plus two is vilimadatem to teach, ulimadatem, the other one is to learn. Whereas the obligation to mitzuveh, the mode, whereas the obligation to learn, mitzuveh lelameh, also has an obligation to teach. Whoever's not obligated to learn, and mitzvah is amazing. I thought one, but the truth is, either way, I think it is from the two psukim, because one says lima atem and one says ulam atem. So you can do it from the two psukim, although you could do the same play as you did by. Right, so you could do that. I agree with you that you could make the same lima, but it's not necessarily necessary here, but you could say the lima atem again without the miyud. It's the same play on the same word, lima atem, ulam atem. How do you know that she's not obligated to teach herself? Whoever's obligated to teach her is obligated to teach themselves. Whoever is not commanded to teach others, is not obligated to teach themselves. Again, circular. This is a key aspect. How do you know that others aren't obligated to teach her? Obligation is to teach one's son and not one's daughter. Since the obligation is to teach one's son and not daughter, therefore she too does not have an obligation to teach because of the hefkesh of the matatem, full the matatem. One is obligated to learn or to be taught, is obligated to teach or to be chayav in or to teach themselves. So that she'll be excluded from that.
The Torah refers to boys and girls separately in other cases?
Not always, but the Gemara, that's a good question about, for instance, like we got to the Bintcha. When the Torah uses the word bincha, sometimes the word bincha is the general phrase of ben, meaning that all offspring, like that we have that by Yivama, right? Bin la ben. So there we have, or that sometimes ben, the Gemara says, uses ben, velopat. Gemara in different places has, right, I assume that you have the same Sarah. Right, in the plural it is. It's formulated in the male form when you have a plural form. And I agree with you, but that they must have had a Masorah that was the limud in these instances, that it's Nechem v'lo b'notechem. Right, Tan Rabbanan, who l'mod, who b'no l'mod? It's a choice between him learning and his son learning. Who called him l'bno? He goes first. Yehud Omer, im b'no zariz u'mimulach. If his son is a zariz u'mimulach, I mean that... Right, he is good and mulach, you know, salty or mulach, right, or mutlach, whatever these are, different spine over here, but sharpened and successful. Let's call it that way. Sharpened and successful with Talmudom, it's kayem biyado, and he's able to, you know, he holds on to his learning, but no kodmo, his son goes first. Right, so that's the way our Gemara is formulated, that the key differentiator is Talmudom, it's kayem biyado, that he's able to remember, right, or to hold on to what he learns. Okay, so that would be, and then the word mulach in that instance again, that he is salty, meaning melach is something that shomer, holds on to things. So mulach, that would explain it's kayim biyado. On the other hand, the Rambam formulated it as that he has to be a navon umaskil. A classic Rambam, navon umaskil, that the ikar is havanah, understanding. Navon umaskil, not necessarily it's kayim biyado, but the ability to understand, grasp, right, and the ability to do things with it. But the way the Gemara formulates the Ikar seems to be Tavando mitkayem biado. And that might have to do with this gear, say, Mumulak. Do you say that he was Mumulak, salty, which means Shmira, has to do with mitkayem biado? Or, right, do you say Mimulak, right, which is Mimulak, Mutlak, which we might could possibly be like the Rambam, which is that he's Navon u Maskil. So the Gemara says, Yad Rav Yaakov, Breed Rav Yaakov, Rav Yaakov. So Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Yaakov, Yaakov, Shabri Abua, the Kamehda Abai, sent him to Abai to learn. When he came back, or when he saw him, he said that things weren't going so well for his son, Yaakov. I'm like, Ana Adifa Minach. So Rav Yaakov says, I'm better than you. Right? Tugat, you stay here and work. That's Lana, and I'm going. Right? Say that I'm on my way, I'm going over there. So it's interesting that Rashi points out over here that his B'no Zariz, Yomot B'no, his son will learn. The father will have to take care of himself and the child. But that may not be true the other way around. If the father is better, right, then the son has to support himself, but he's not obligated to support the father. And that's a one-way street. In terms of support, it's a... So Abai heard that Rav Yaakov was coming to play the base medrash. How mazik be rabbonim to Abai? There was this problem, there was this mazik in the base medrash of Abai. They say, I live train, I feel the yomama. When two people used to enter the base medrash, two goats, even during the daytime, how would it zake? It would hurt them, it would cause damage. Nobody should give him accommodations when he shows up. When Rav Yaakov shows up, don't give him accommodations. Maybe something will happen, he'll kill off his mazik. So it came, sure enough, it happened that way. Nobody gave him any accommodations. He ended up sleeping in the base medrash. The matzik appeared to him like a seven-headed serpent. All right, every bow or kriya or tefillah that Rav Acha did, one of the heads would fall off. And then when Abai shows up the next day, they go, had a miracle not happened, that I was saved, you would have put my life in danger. And that you put me in danger here by leaving me in with this matzik in the base medrash. All right, so now, Gemara says, Tanrabanan, Lomodi Torah v'lisai shach, a choice between getting married and learning Torah. Yomo Torah v'char kach v'lisai shach, learn first, then get married. V'im yefshar lo below ishach, it's impossible to learn without having a wife, meaning isai shach, right, if it's, he's getting to an age where he'll cure her him, that he can't go on with it, I mean, that it's appropriate to have a wife, isai shach v'char kach yomo Torah. Then he'll marry, and afterwards he should marry first, and then learn Torah. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha is no seisha. You should marry first and then learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan, Rechayim ben Samarov, Yasuk the Torah, is a millstone around his neck, and then he's going to learn Torah. And once he's married, he has obligations to his wife, his family. He's not going to be able to learn Torah, that he doesn't have time to learn Torah anymore. The low plige, they do not argue, halan haluhu. That's for them, and that's for us, and that's for them. So halan haluhu, if it's going to be Rashi and Tosfos, throughout Shas here. One is B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Aluhu is for B'nai Bavel. Who was speaking to B'nai Eretz Yisrael, and who was speaking to B'nai Bavel? So the easiest way, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, right, and the first name is Shmuel, right, Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel lived in Bavel. So that would make sense that Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel were speaking to the B'nai Bavel, and Rabbi Yochanan was speaking to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael, which is the way Rashi explains it. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda, halacha nesisha v'akabaka motorah, is the B'nai Bavel. Why? Because they would get married, then they would leave home and go learn. So they didn't have to worry, they weren't getting distracted by their wives, because they left their wives back in Bavel. They took off, they married, took their wife there, and then they went off to Eretz Yisrael to learn, so they didn't have a problem. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the people who were learning in Eretz Yisrael, and right, they were married. If they were going to be married in Eretz Yisrael, their wives were there, near them, and that would cause them to be, right, Mevatel Torah. So he says, how can you be married and then learn Torah? That's the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says, in Tok Shlomdim Chutzim Makamam, in Tarche Abayit Mutalim Alav, Naseisha. Since he was going outside the house, he had no obligations in the household obligations. And since he didn't have any household obligations, he could get married and leave town and learn. That's what the B'nai Bavel. But B'nai Yisrael were learning at home. Then they couldn't, if they got married, then they would start by the and they would cause them to be Mabatul Torah. Tosfos asks two obvious questions on Rashi. One is, number one, what does marrying, the whole purpose of Nilsi Shah before learning Torah is so that you won't have your Urim. Hey, you won't have your Urim, nothing go wrong. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? The guy gets married and then leaves his wife behind. How does that help him with your Urim? Maybe he's getting married and he takes off and leaves. That's number one. Number two is, he says, right, what is this, if he got married, he's obligated to take care of his wife. What's this idea that he could just take off after he gets married and leave and go to Eretz Yisrael? He has obligations to support his children, right? He has obligations to give his own oaths to his children, to his wife. What does this mean? Tzarkei Abayit Lo Mutalim Alav. So Tosfos learns the other way around. Yeah, Tosfos learns the opposite. That for B'nai Bavel, they shouldn't get married. They shouldn't get married because then they'll have to leave their wives behind, right? And they'll have no harem, and there'll be a problem for them coming to Eretz Yisrael. Whereas B'nai Eretz Yisrael, who were living at home, who were approximate in, but close to the end of another little line, Ashimim, and they were rich. The B'nai Bavel were not so rich, but the B'nai Eretz Yisrael were rich. So since they were wealthy, and their wives were there, then they could be no seisha, and what? And then learn Torah. What does he deal with the problem of Rabbi Yochanan and Amar Rabbi Shmuel? So Tosfos answers this in many places. The Jaz points out that he said that Rabbi Yochanan was speaking to the Babylonian students in front of him. Rabbi Yochanan Erfiel was talking to these students that came from Babel here. And he said, when he said, Alan Alu, Rabbi Yochanan was posturing for them. That for you guys, what? If you have a wife back home, you can't be over here. First of all, you guys are poor. You have to support your wife back home. You're going to be heavy over here. You can't do that. So he was speaking to B'nai Bavel. And Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel was speaking to B'nai Yisrael, who came to Bavel. And he was telling them, you guys could be no seisha. Right? That you could be no seisha, because when you go back, right? You can be Nosei Shah because you're local. And since you're local in Ashirim, it's okay for you to be Nosei Shah. So again, this is Machlokes Rashi Tosfos. V'Alan Halahu appears in a number of places in Shas. And they disagree in the same manner in those instances. Right now, Mishtaba Klei, Rav Chisda de Rav Huna. Right, so Rav Chisda spoke to Rav Huna and told him that Rav Hamnuna was Adam Galdhu. This guy, Rav Hamnuna, is a big guy. I'm like, Shiavoli Yadei, Chavili Yadei. So he told him, Rav Chisda says to Rav Huna, when Rav Hamnuna shows up, bring him over to me. Kiata Chazigil Paris Sudra. He saw that he didn't have his head covered. I'm like, my time to go Paris Sudra, because why don't you wear a head cover? Right, your Talmud Chacham, a Talmud Chacham is supposed to have a head covering. Or, number two is that a married man should have a head covering on. Alright? I don't know. I don't know if it's a talus. I don't know. It sounds like it's something else. It was some sort of head covering that is an indication of prominence and, of a certain status. Like a
hat.
Right. Like the equivalent today of what you would call a black hat. Right. I'm like, he says back to him, why don't you have your head covered? I'm like, the Lord Nisibna says, I'm not married. Right? He says, I'm not married. Adrino la pe mine. So Rav Chisda turned his face away from him. I'm like, Chazit lehu la pe adin nisab. So Rav Hamnuna understood Rav Chisda is not going to really talk to him until he gets married. So why is that? Because Rav Huna, the Tamei. Right? They came to Rav Huna, so Rav Huna turned his face away. So he says, he realized Rav Huna that Rav Huna won't look at him until he get married. Why? Because Rav Huna the Tamei. Rav Huna is the one who said to him. Right. Rav Huna is the one who said to him, why don't you have your head covered? He says, I'm not married. So Rav Huna turns his face away. Rav Huna the Tamei. Rav Huna is the one who said to him. Ben Isim Shana, Balon Nasai Shaf, you're 20 years old and didn't get married. Koyamab be Avira. The whole life you'll live be Avira. Avira, Sal Kadakho. What do you mean, Avira? Elohim, Koyamab be Hurari Avira. It's inappropriate to wait past 20 to get married. I'm a rabbi of a chintan of Rabbi Shmuel. I'm kapshana. Yeshiva Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzvah Adam. Atay Saisha. Till 20 years, Hashem waits for a person to get married. Even she gives a couple on a sah. Once he's 20, he doesn't get married. Omer tipuch atzmudat. His bones should explode, should disintegrate. That Hashem is disappointed. Why? Because they're supposed to shoot him, badam. Right. So when you have isha and Kodesh Baruch Hu, the ones who are yatir the blood. So when the person doesn't get married, when he reaches 20, Kodesh Baruch Hu is disappointed because there's right. He's been the top that they can be partners in creating the next generation. Amar Rav Chisda had Difne Mechabrai. Chisda says, Rav Chisda was a Talmud of Rav Huna, right? It says, I was better than everyone. Didn't see the Beshitza. I got married when I was 16. You have the Sibna of our Beisar, right? He says that had I gotten married at 14, Havamina L'Satam Gira Be'enecha. He said that I would have been too much, because it would have been as if I was, well, there are different ways to explain what this means, L'Satam Gira Be'enecha. One is the way Rashi says, Komar, Haiti mitzgarepo. It'd be as if I was making fun of the Satan. The Satan is the Yitzhara, and then he's saying, I'm not afraid that you're gonna hurt me, so I got married at 14 so that you can never get a hold of me. That's one way to explain it. Right? The other way to explain it, the Satan Gire Be'enecha, is that it would have been a positive. That meaning that if he had gotten married at 14, the Satan would never have gotten hold of him because he could have poked fun at the Satan because he got married so early, he would never have had any hooray Aveira. Okay, we'll stop over here.